Gamertag Radio presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
All right, so we're back, E3 2019, and I think it's been over a decade since you've been on the show. We have Larry Herb, a.k.a. Major
Godfrey,
Nelson,
so
Xbox.
Good to see you. I was thinking about this. I saw some photos the other day. What number E3 is this for you?
14.
14, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's my 16th or 17th. So, yeah, you and I met a long time ago.
Have you met Paris even before me or not?
I think right around the same time.
Same time, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Man, how's it been, man,
it's
for
been
you?
Great. I mean, you were at the show, right?
Yes, man.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it. I went bananas. One, Keanu Reeves, of course. That was, iconic to me. I was telling Aaron that reminded me of Rock Band Beatles when the Beatles showed up.
See, now, I tell people about and they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, we had Paul and Ringo on the left.
Yes.
And Yoko and George Harrison's wife on the right.
On the right.
Now, here's a little...
Yeah.
Apparently, they didn't want to be on the same stage. So that's why they were separated.
That makes
sense.
There's
a little...
And I noticed, too...
I don't know anything else other than that.
That year, I remember the press conference started a little bit later.
Right.
I think it was because they were waiting for them to arrive.
Right, we're waiting for them to arrive.
Yeah,
so. That was the year we had, I think it was 2009, we had Tony Hawk on stage, and then later we announced Kinect.
Yes.
And I think we even Steven Spielberg on that
yes,
stage.
Yes, yeah.
Right, that was like, what?
That was a lot of big people. Oh, well, anyways, like I was saying, the game that really got to me was Phantasy Star Online.
Really?
Because I have a huge history of that game. So that's the reason why I started Internet Radio.
Really?
With the Dreamcast. Yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah.
So when I saw it, I was shaking, like, really I was like, oh, man. This is full circle, man.
So
like,
you didn't
this
know anything. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. It's real full circle.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like a special moment right there for me, man. Yeah. But yeah, I got excited for every other game, too. But that one was the one I was like,
yeah,
wow.
We had over 60 games.
That was a lot of games, dude.
Yeah.
A lot of games, man.
It was a big, big day. I mean, it's we had, and then Double Fine with Tim Schafer.
I was not expecting that at all, man. I mean, Larry, for you, like, you've been now with the company how long now?
I've been almost 20 years.
How much has it changed, man, back then?
Oh, totally.
Because now, you know, when we met, you didn't have that many followers.
Yeah,
it was like,
No. When we met, there was no Twitter.
No Twitter, yes,
Facebook was invite only for colleges.
Yes.
Blogs were like, what is this thing?
MySpace, maybe?
MySpace,
but it was
maybe.
Forums. It was like a big thing.
Right, forums were the big thing.
Were you active in different forums back then?
And the Xbox forums, yeah.
And look now it's like Twitter, social media, YouTube stream.
Everything's everywhere. Yeah, that's right. This is before YouTube. People forget that there was this time where forums were really the center of gravity, social gravity for everybody online.
Mm-hmm.
But it's changed massively, not just from that perspective, but just the size of the team. Go back, I'm sure they're on YouTube. Go back and look at a 2002 or 2003 Xbox presentation for E3. I'm sure they're online. I don't know.
Yeah, some.
But they're very lo-fi. You know, we're 3x2 standard dev, because that's what it was back in the day.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was just a different vibe.
Very different vibe. And I noticed you're still with the podcast, man. That's good. I'm happy you're doing that, man, because
I don't do them as much as I want.
I know. But you love audio.
I do.
And I know you've been so busy, it's hard to, you know, create a lot of content. But I'm happy that you still, once in a while, you support podcasts, because a lot of people, I think, just forgets, like, about the podcast side and then go with the video content side, you know? So
everybody wants to do the video and they smash a subscribe and like. But I don't get into that scene because there's enough people doing video, and video is great, but there's something magical about what you do and the stuff that I do and podcasters do, where we're recording this right now here at E3, and someone's going to listen to this while they're mowing their lawn or on their way to work or working out, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can take these things with you, and you can be – you and I can be part of whoever they are, their life, and vice versa. So there's something magical about audio, and I learned that a long time ago when I was in college. Just the theater of the mind and how to paint that picture.
Yeah, because somebody was asking me, so you have a YouTube channel? This is like a long time ago. I was like, no, we have an audio podcast, but our voices would influence people to buy the product because they could tell that when we were like excited about
you
something.
You can't hide passion.
So I just love that.
Yeah,
love
can't hide passion. And it's interesting because like you and I said, you know, you've been on podcasts forever, so have I. It kind of went through this, and then it dropped out when everybody got a video. But now it's like way back strong. Like Apple has their own podcast app coming.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with the next update. So everybody's getting kind of kind of back into it,
yeah,
which is great.
I love that. Well, are you listening to a lot of podcasts during your free time?
As God is my witness, I just don't have time.
Yeah.
You know, I've had my little daughter at home,
yeah,
and when I go home, I put my phone down, I put my whatever I have. My job is to be a great dad with her, and so I don't want to be distracted.
Time flies, man. So it's good you're doing
that, right,
man.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, I love podcasting. I'm so glad we were able to do this.
You know what, Larry? We got to go back because I know we had you on the podcast. It was during, it was like an esports event. Was it Universal Studios?
That was that
in Orlando.
That's the actually. You know what? Why that's significant? I'm sure you're going to talk about.
Yeah,
that was the first time I met Jeff Rubenstein.
Yes,
who now works on our team.
He was telling me that
before he worked at Sony.
Yes, and he was a media, right?
Yeah, he was like Orlando Sun or Sentinel, whatever the local paper is there. Yeah. And he decided after seeing you and seeing me, he's like, I want to work in the business. And here he is.
Yeah, that's
dreams come true.
Yeah, it is. But I know you mentioned there was a crazy story about you and Universal Studios.
That's right.
We gotta talk about that.
You're gonna make me tell the story.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever told this before publicly, so you've got an exclusive.
Yeah.
So when I was in radio, I'm not gonna say what radio stations, back in the 90s. It was up in New England. We were doing a promotion with Universal Studios where we would send people down, you know, they win trips. Mm-hmm. And we were going to go down. Our morning show was going to go down for a few days to broadcast live. They had a beautiful, I don't know if they still have, but they had a beautiful radio studio back in the day. And you go down to the morning show, we would take calls and talk about bringing people interviewing on the park and the whole routine. And that particular day, it was, like, I think, our second day in. Mm-hmm. That's when Universal, the company, was acquired by Seagram's,
mm-hmm,
the alcohol company. I don't even know who owns Universal now.
I don't know either. I don't know either.
But they've gone through a few changes. Mm-hmm. So my morning guy, who is he was a challenge to work with, I'll say that. He was very strong-headed.
Yeah.
He came up with this idea, they just announced this. Let's talk about, you know, back then everybody's doing top 10 lists like David Letterman. Mm-hmm. It's like, let's do a top 10 list, top 10 ways that the acquisition is going to change Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. Things like you're going to do a fifth of vodka before you get on the 5-0 ride, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, hey, you can't do this. Mm-hmm. We're guests here. You can't do it. So sure enough, we're on the air and he starts doing the list. And I said, I'm not going to say their name, but I said, please don't do this. He's like, no, I want to do it. It's going to be funny. I said, don't do it. Mm-hmm. He's reading through the list. He gets to number about 6 or maybe 7. You know, he's going down 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. And he gets through the whole thing and he gets down there and I look in the other room. You've been in radio studios.
Yes, yes.
I see an engineer in the other room hit the button and we go off the air.
Oh, snap.
They killed it. They killed the broadcast.
Right on the spot.
And one of the guys came in, not the engineer, but somebody else, the representative came in. I'm sorry. Thank you very much. The broadcast is over. We'll escort you off the property now.
Oh, my God.
And we were escorted off the property.
So how long you were like banned, I could say?
I was never banned.
Banned.
No. Okay. So the first time I had ever been back after many years was when I saw you.
Oh, yes, yes. Wow.
So that's why.
Yeah, that's. Wow,
so crazy. That was the story. So yeah, it was. I mean, I've subsequently talked to a lot of people that worked there, and it was. You know, time heals many wounds, but it was a very difficult moment.
I know you have a lot of really cool podcast interviews from back then till now.
Yeah,
was there any favorite moments, like top three that you can think of? Still to this day, like, man, you know what? That was an awesome episode.
I'm going to say probably when I don't remember. Was it 2007? When were we at Grauman's Theater? Remember that up in Hollywood? Maybe 7 or 8.
Oh, Santa Monica?
No, up on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, that was 2006.
Okay, so 2006 is when we
More Grand Theft Auto tattoo.
But that was we had Bill Gates on stage.
Yes,
and I got a chance to interview Bill.
I remember that.
Right, so that was amazing because I worked at Microsoft for a few years at that point, and just being able to go over somebody came and said, "Hey, would you like to interview Bill Gates?" Yeah, I would.
Dude, who's going to say no?
And I just remember sitting here. It was so intense and so interesting. And he still is. I mean, he's since moved on from Microsoft and is frankly solving bigger problems in the world.
Yeah.
But I just remember talking to him and looking at him in the eyes like I'm looking you in the eyes. And he was talking, but you could see that he was like, I don't know, solving problems with the other 90% of his brain. He was just so amazing. He was so fascinating.
That's cool.
Such an amazing individual.
Yeah, him. He. That was a good one. I know you had Jay Allard.
Oh, Jay. In fact, I still text Jay right now.
Yeah.
Jay Allard for one of you.
He hits me up like back then.
Yeah, he is. I love talking. Anytime I can talk to Jay Allen. I think I did a podcast. What was a 5-year anniversary of Xbox 360. I had him on.
Yes,
I had a bunch of folks. So anytime I could talk to them, I mean, I've had, you know, celebrities on. I got to talk to, you know, the producers of the James Bond series, mm-hmm. You know, for some bizarre reason. But it allows us, you know, it allows you and I as podcasters, it just, they're our properties. They're part of our personalities, these shows. Mm-hmm. And it allows us to talk to, frankly, a lot of different people. Like, I'm interested in James Bond. Let me talk about that. I'm interested in Star Wars. Let me talk about that. You know, we talk about, of course we talk about games.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
we're lifestyle. We want to talk about things. You know, I've had people, a lot of people I've turned down because I don't think my audience would be interested in this, in hearing that. But I like to talk about it because it shows off more of who I am, because you get so much more mm-hmm. emotion in a voice than you do in a tweet.
Do you think doing now video, because you've been doing like Inside Xbox yeah. and other, has it been harder for you, more challenging than creating content for audio podcasts? Or you think it's a lot easier?
The video stuff's easier because there's a whole team of people that do it. With the podcast, it's always just me.
It's just you, the producer, everything.
I'm editing, I'm producing, I'm writing, I'm uploading it, the whole thing. So for me, and there's something about, everyone's like, wow, you still edit your podcast? Like when I'm working, like, yeah, it's actually kind of, it's kind of mental therapy for me.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's so nice to just sit down and you're just dealing with a couple of things and you're splicing it together and you're fading music. You get fun with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? As opposed to the video, it's just much more complicated.
Yeah, because I remember the old Midgenism podcast. You had you would play like sound effects or music and people had to guess.
Yeah, name the game. I retired that after Laura left. Because Laura left that was usually always her feature and she left the company, so I kind of retired that feature.
There was a couple sounds and tracks that you play, I was like, what is this?
Right.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, that was always fun to do that. And I loved doing it when I had Eon, of course, Steptoe, who has since passed away, and Laura, you know, Jeff had joined the team. So it's funny because I get a lot of people at Microsoft, I'm sure you do too, hey, I want to be on the podcast. I'm like, you know what? Like with E and with Laura and Steptoe and Jeff, the podcast chooses you.
Yes.
Like in other words, when you're on the show, you know when there's a great person who gets it. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe they would be a good co-host or a regular guest, that kind of thing, right? I'm sure you had that.
Yeah, because we had a lot of changes. And right now, it's only us three right now. It's Paris and P and I.
Right.
I feel like I can't get another co-host. Like, I feel like I'm super comfortable with us three.
Right.
It's like
any relationship.
Yeah.
When the person is right, then it'll feel it. But it's the same thing with the podcast. You can't manufacture that kind of chemistry.
It's like you're forcing people.
Right. You can't force people together. It's like arranged marriage or something. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right. But when you get two or three or four people together that are passionate about things and have this, you know, kind of this relationship that's above or perhaps beneath mm-hmm. just what you're talking about, then it's really magical.
Now, with changes, like throughout the years, there's been so many changes at Xbox, man. Yeah. How hard is it, like, just to get used to the change? You know, people have been working there, they'll go, move on, or...
Well, I'll tell you this. It's, and I'm going to go for a prop here, because I know this is radio, but I want to show you something in just a minute while I'm telling the story.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been really hard to go through this change, but the beauty of it is I've been with the Xbox team so long mm-hmm. that... a lot of people just like, oh, that's Major Nelson. You know, they get who I am and what I do, and I'm trying to find this for you.
Yeah, yeah.
To the point of that, it's like I'm this weird institution. And what I'm going to show you here is, so when people look at me at Microsoft, like, you work at a large company.
Yeah, well, not anymore.
Used to. You know, a lot of people have the global address book and email, and you can look them up and what they do, and their title is senior director or head of this or head of that. Mm-hmm. But this is, if you look up in our global address book, that's my title right under my name. My mm-hmm. title is Major Nelson.
Major Nelson.
Like, that's what it says in the official Microsoft directory. So mm-hmm. it's, people are like, wow. So that, but I've been doing it so long, that means something to people internally. They know that I'm a advocate of gamers. I'm an evangelist. I do marketing. I do PR. I do product development. I do all these things. It's kind of this weird. So I look at that. And I'm like, I am the only person in the over 100,000 people company that's worth over $1 billion that has that title.
That's pretty cool.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And one thing that I feel like a lot of people don't give you enough credit. You were the first person in gaming industry that started doing podcasts and all that for a video game company, because before it was just forms, maybe that's it, but there was no podcast audio at that time.
There wasn't.
Maybe just the fans.
Yeah, what you were doing, of course, you were doing my
own. But an actual corporation, like working at Microsoft or any other company, you were the first one, man.
Yeah.
I give you major props on that.
And you know where that comes from? It comes from the fact that, I think I know, I told you this, is that I had done radio for so long, and I looked at podcasts, I'm like, this is just radio. Mm-hmm. I mean, not just radio. I don't mean to demean it, but I'm saying it is just a different form of radio, which I know. Mm-hmm. I knew how to do it. I had done it for years.
Yeah.
And I got even more excited when, I don't think I ever told this story either, that really the guy that people credit as the father of podcasting is Adam Curry.
You know, we got inducted Hall of Fame together.
Did you?
It was me, him, who was Adam Curry, Todd Cochran.
Right.
It was a couple. And Lee LaPorte. We all got inducted the same year.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, congratulations on that.
Man. But you should be next, man. You should be up there too.
Well,
man.
You know, that's your kind. But it's funny because Adam, I had worked with in radio. He was on MTV for many years.
Yes, in the 80s.
Yeah, in the early 90s.
Early 90s.
Okay. And I remember emailing Adam and going, hey, I'm doing this podcast thing. What can you tell me about it? And he really advised me because he remembered me from back then. Mm-hmm. And it just is just grown since then. So it's just amazing how these moments in your life, and I tell people this, you know, everything happens for a reason. That's such a cliche. But there's a reason I was in radio for so long. There's a reason that I came to Microsoft. I came to work on one product and moved to Xbox. Everything just kind of snapped into place. I could have never in a million years have planned it that way. So I absolutely say I'm one of the luckiest people in the world.
So when was it that Microsoft noticed, wow, you know what? This podcast thing is we got to take advantage of this. This is good.
When a lot of folks came to me across Microsoft and said, hey, I know you're doing a podcast. Could you tell us how to do them?
Were you still calling it a blogcast?
Yes.
Still at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You regret saying that? Calling it blogcast?
I kind of do.
Yeah, because I think Leo Laporte was calling it a blogcast.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And even the PlayStation guys still do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's whatever. It's an audio file. But when a lot of folks, even publishers, and I'm not going to talk about here, a lot of big publishers came to me privately and said, hey, we want to start this. How do we make a quote-unquote Major Nelson for insert big franchise here?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I would tell them, well, okay, what do you want to do? I'd say, you know, the one question that I always ask when I'm dealing with that or when I'm in a meeting is people are talking, and, you know, if you work in a company, whether it's small, medium, or large, the one question, the most powerful question you can ask when people are talking and they're trying to figure stuff out, I'm like, what is the problem you're trying to solve? Mm-hmm. That's the question that brings everything into focus. Mm-hmm. So when I would talk to folks in other parts of Microsoft, oh, we want to do a Major Nelson for Windows or Office. Well, what's the problem you're trying to solve? And they would kind of, okay, well, we want to talk to our fans. Okay, you want to talk to your fans? Let's talk about it. So it's a very crisp way of getting an individual or group of people to think about, what are we really doing? Yeah, we want that. Like, yeah, I want to be a supermodel. Well, I'm never going to be a supermodel. Mm-hmm. But you know, why? What am I doing? Or what is this thing you want? Why do you want it? So the why is what I always asked.
You know what? I just thought about this. I got to thank you for something that...
Why?
I know we talked behind the scenes, but...
Yeah.
2013, when, you know, Don Matrick, you guys...
We announced the Xbox One.
You know, I felt like the communication wasn't there. Like, the messaging was kind of off.
Sure.
And I feel like Microsoft probably, like, just forgot about the community. And I wrote an open letter.
That's right.
And you were the first person... And there was other people too, like Trixie, but she wasn't working in the company at the time.
Sure.
But from Xbox, you were the first person to hit me up.
Yeah, I remember that letter. And it was very powerful. Thank you.
Yeah, and that was a really cool moment because I started getting messages from all type of people that people that used to work for Xbox from like the early 2000s. Yeah. I was not expecting
You're like, who is this person, right?
But then after that, I think it was you and your team. Like, hey, you know what? Let's get Phil on the show.
Yeah.
And we got the opportunity because of you guys. So I want to say thanks, man.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I mean, you've always been a firm but fair partner, for lack of a better, you know, you don't work for us, but you're a member of the community. You're a massive voice in the community. Mm-hmm. And you call BS when you call BS, right?
Because you know what it is, as a fan, it's like, man, like they have so much potential. Like, what's going on here?
Right, what's going
on? But honestly, like ever since Phil took over, like it's been super good, man, and so many cool surprises. Like I've just been enjoying it every year, man. Every time I come to E3,
I got
to
tell you, when we sat in the E3 review a couple weeks ago, I mean, they do them months in advance, but I don't even bother. I don't want to go in January because everything's going to change by June.
Yeah,
I want to get in closer when things are getting really close to coming together. And I watched the show and I was like, wow, this is going to be great. You know, all the moments, and I didn't even know about the Keanu moment at that point.
Also, that's good that you had a couple surprises for you, too. See, like working from inside, sometimes you don't want to know everything. Like, you want to be surprised.
Well, I tell people that one of my biggest mistakes I made was I was going down, was it three? I had a meeting at Bungie when we owned them, and they were working on the Halo series. Mm-hmm. And I had a meeting in their offices one day, and I got there. I always get my meetings early because I want to make sure, because you respect time. In radio, you have to respect time.
Yeah.
You're not on the air at this time. So I get there a few minutes early, and they're like, okay, it's over in this conference room. I'm in the conference room, and I put my laptop down. I'm like, okay, let's check, open it up, get on the Wi-Fi. And I kind of like sitting there waiting for the room to fill up, and I look, glance up to the right or to the left, and there's a whiteboard. And I'm looking at the whiteboard. I'm like, oh, I wonder if this is what the meeting is about. And as I start looking at it, I'm like, that's the story for Halo 3.
Oh, my God.
I saw
it messed you up.
And it messed me up because I was like, oh, I don't want to read that. I was so upset. So I pick up my laptop and I turn around so that my back is to the whiteboard because I just didn't even want to look at it, even have a chance of looking at it during the meeting.
Oh, no.
I was so bummed about that.
You mentioned that to other people too? You're like, oh,
yeah, I was like, so at the end of the day, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I hate spoilers because I mean, like when a new Star Wars comes out or a new movie I want to see, I don't even engage with it. I just want to go and enjoy.
You know what drives me crazy? Leaks, man.
Yeah.
Especially when it gets close to E3. I'm like, I want to be there.
Surprise.
Like imagine finding out Keanu Reeves was going to be there.
Yeah.
You think people are going to be like that? I think getting that surprise is better.
We need
better,
those surprises.
Yes, man.
We need those surprises. Yes. We need to be surprised and delighted nowadays. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, just enjoy.
Another thing that I remember. A lot of people probably doesn't know about this, but you purchased a Nintendo DS.
That's right.
And you went to the store.
That's right.
And you got it signed by Reggie.
Yeah, I did. I did.
A lot of people don't know that. I think there is pictures. If you dig online, you could still find it. But yeah.
Yeah, I was at, this was like 2002 maybe or three, right after I started Xbox. Whenever the DS came out. And it was one of the first, the gray ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it was thick.
Yeah, and they were doing an event at a store in the Seattle area. So I want to go down and get mine signed.
Yeah.
So I stood in line, and I remember him walking. You know, he's huge. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
I remember walking to him and said, "Hi, Reggie. My name is Major Nelson." No, he said, "How do you want me to sign?" I said, "Sign it to Major Nelson." I said, okay. Yeah. I had no idea who I was. I had no online presence at all at that point.
So it wasn't you trolling or anything.
No.
Like, you were just a fan.
No.
Yeah. A lot of people thought you were trolling.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I was like, nah, man. He's a fan. I know it.
No. And so I was just so excited. And the funny thing is a few years later, as people became to know who I am and what I am, we would run into each other because we are the health club. That a lot of Microsoft employees go to Nintendo and Microsoft America right next to each other, as you know.
Yes.
And so we'd all go to the same health club, and I ran into him one day in the locker room. That's awkward.
That's great.
What's up?
Does he remember that at all?
We've never talked about it, but I've always seen him. You know, I saw him at the Game Awards last year. Of course, he's since retired.
Mm-hmm.
And he always says, "Hey, you're tweeting again." And I said, "Yeah, you need to tweet more." And I got a Mario cap button from him or a pin.
Yeah.
So I mean, cool. I just I'm a fan.
I love seeing that relationship with Nintendo and Xbox.
Yeah,
I'm loving it. And today,
did you see what we announced today?
Yeah, man, Banjo. You know what's crazy? I was talking to Aaron yesterday.
Yeah.
And I told him like this crazy conspiracy theory, like I thought was going to happen. I told him that because I love Project X Cloud. I tried it out yesterday.
Oh, finally. That's right.
Really cool. But I was like, man, that would be cool to see Nintendo Switch play X Cloud. Like, because I see the partnership. You guys been doing a lot of cool things.
Right.
And slowly, it's getting better and better now with Banjo.
I would love to see that too.
That would be super cool.
Yeah.
Really super cool. So, yeah. What else, man? Oh, so EXO.
Coming to London.
Did you used to go the ones back in the days or not? Or not?
Yeah, I remember. I went to the one. We were the one in Amsterdam. Did you go to that one?
No, I never been to
that.
That
was 2005. We did one in Barcelona.
Yes, I was going to mention that one. I remember the Barcelona.
I remember that one because I was there with Peter Moore. I lost my favorite sunglasses at that one. I'll never forget it.
Oh no.
You know what that's like.
Yeah.
And I remember that one because I was backstage talking to Peter Moore, and That was the first time we showed BioShock, the original BioShock.
Oh, was it that event?
Yeah.
Oh,
and snap. Or it was the first time I remember seeing, or maybe it was a different version of the trailer. Mm-hmm. And I remember standing backstage and they were doing an AV to audio video test, and it came on stage, and I, because I'm a scuba diver.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
And I love kind of art deco. So I Peter and I were talking, and I remember looking at the screen, just like I'm looking at the screen. I was like,
mm-hmm. Wow.
I said, hold on. And I'm looking at the screen. I was just like, this is amazing. So I just completely got distracted with that.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite demos on the 360 period.
Right?
Yeah, BioShock.
Yeah, because if you remember, to get back to the podcast, I talked to Ken Levine, and I used to do my podcast releases on Sunday nights.
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
And we did the podcast and lined it up where he announced it, that the demo was out, and the demo dropped like an hour later.
Wow.
So it was like everything lined up, the marketing, you know, everything just kind of happened at once, and this demo was like, whoa!
Yeah. Another moment. I'm going with like back.
Yeah, we're going deep cuts. In.
So the other one that I still to this day remember, I interviewed people that went to the MTV reveal of the Xbox 360.
Yeah, here in Hollywood.
Yes. So I got on the show, and they basically said everything what you guys already had recorded for MTV. I put up the audio, and you hit me up like, Danny, can you please remove that? But here's the problem that you don't know. MTV told them, yeah, go spread the word. Tell your friends about the show.
Right.
They had the people there I interviewed, they had no idea.
Right, right.
But once the audio was out, I was like, oh, man, you know what? I don't want to get in trouble. Let me just take it out. Yeah. But I was kind of scared at that time. That was like my first time.
Sure. Yeah, I vaguely remember that, and I don't remember what the timing was. Just it was a weird.
It was like a week before the MTV reveal,
which they recorded.
Yeah, and it was really awesome. It was really, really cool. Now
I have a funny video that I should show you from that reveal. I've never shown this video before of an interview I did with a celebrity there. It's never been seen. It is it is rated R.
Really?
Yeah.
You have a lot. You probably have a lot of unreleased content like that, video and audio, right?
Oh yeah.
And is it? Can you say why it's not available?
Like, some of it is just it's off brand. It doesn't make sense. Some of it, frankly, is a little racy.
Ooh,
yeah. You know, and to be honest with you,
you have a lot of young people.
I respect that that there's a lot of young people. So I want to make sure I keep the show clean and family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's absolutely things. Plus, there's also a lot of things that didn't age well.
Okay.
For lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a lot of stuff.
What's next for you, man? I know.
Oh, boy.
I know you're a busy guy. Your podcast is how long now? 14 years?
I don't know.
And
I'm doing the podcast now a little bit on Mixer.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun. So in fact, I'm leaving here in just a few minutes to do it.
Yeah. You're going to record in front of the audience? Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. We're just going to do it, and we're going to have some fun. And that's, you know, that's again. When we acquired Beam and then became Mixer, you know, they were like, hey, we want you to do the podcast on Mixer. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And again, it's like all these shows on like ESPN, a bunch of dudes sitting around a desk talking about sports or in our case video games and stuff. And Jeff and I can do it. I mean, Jeff is such a good, not only a good friend, but a great coworker, and he gets it. We just sit down and we go. We don't need to prep. He knows what I'm going to talk about. We all have our roles and what we call our swim lanes.
He knows probably when you're going to cough. Like,
right.
Major Ness is going to cough.
Yeah. Fill some space. You know that, deal.
That's important, though, because it's the vibe. The conversation just continues. It's not like awkward.
No.
Because you know each other.
Right? Yeah. He's like my brother, right? You know, you just know him so well.
Yeah.
We're doing that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, what's next is, we got EXO later this year. I got to go to Cologne for Germany for our Gamescom, which I love. Have you ever been to Gamescom?
Never been to Gamescom.
Wow, it's lovely.
I might go this year.
It's fun.
Yeah,
I hope to have you.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I have a lot of cool things happening in my life. So big change.
You going to tell us anything?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Not yet.
All right.
But if people find your audio or your daughter, 100 years from now, let's say 50. 100 years from now.
Yeah.
What is it you want people to remember you?
I just want people to remember. Thank you for the question. Mm-hmm. I want people to remember that I tried to bring a little enjoyment in their lives and show what it's like when a nerd geek like them gets the dream job at a massive company to work at a product that affects millions of lives.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to, every morning, Danny, and I said this in, I don't know if you ever watched the keynote I did at PAX Australia. It's on my YouTube channel.
Oh, it's on YouTube? Okay.
Yeah. I did the keynote. Because
mm-hmm.
the number one question I get was always, how do I get your job? So I talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And every single morning I wake up and I'm like, God, I hope I don't screw this up today. I think about what I can do to be a better version of me, help the gaming community, help Xbox, just help elevate the gaming industry as a whole. I don't want to be, there's no reason to be negative. Yeah, we need to be fair, but you know what? There's reasons for things, and I want to make sure that I'm fair and I'm positive and like, hey, and I want to listen and work with our engineering team. Because when at the end of the day, you know, that we work with really smart people, and yeah, people say, well, how could they do that? Well, there's a lot of smart people, and there's always usually a reason. It may not be a reason you agree with. Mm-hmm. It may not be a reason you agree with, but there's a reason why things have to happen or for whatever reason. I mean, it's not just flip the table. I can't believe they did this. They're so dumb or what have you.
Yeah.
But I want people to remember that I really care about the industry. I care about games, and I want to have some fun.
Now, for a person that comes from like the media or radio side, and they get into the, now they start working in the gaming industry, what advice would you give them? Because that's a crazy change for them in their life. Yeah. You know? So what advice would you give
them? Wow.
Because you started radio, media, right?
Yeah.
From there, Microsoft, that's major. That's a major Nelson.
Yeah.
I wasn't planning.
Yeah, no, it was a big jump. And again, it was one of those things that I could never have prepared myself for. And I didn't know what I was getting into. I swear to with my first year at Microsoft, I came in every day. And that's probably why I just said. I came in every day and go, my God, I'm going to get fired today. My God, what an idiot I am. Because I was sitting in the room, even today.
You weren't confident?
No, I wasn't. It's not that I wasn't. I was confident, but I was surrounded by people that were so much smarter than me. And I was the dumbest guy in the room, and I just felt like an idiot, or at least that's what I felt. So I just I learned that, like, you know what? Know what you know and know what you don't know. And that's something that's really, really, really important, because it's just sitting in these rooms with some of these incredibly smart engineers. Like one of the you know, I work with people at Microsoft and Xbox who invented so many components that you know you know, whatever that is, that I'm in awe of them sometime. And it's just my job is just to make sure I don't look like an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. But you made that change, though.
Yeah.
You made the change, especially when it comes to like audio media, social media.
I'll tell you what's hard. The reason I was able to make the change is because the denominator in my life is I'm a nerd. I'm a geek. Like I still experiment every weekend with my smart home stuff. Back in the 90s, when I was working at this radio station, I grabbed that old 286 or 386 computer and started streaming with Real Player because I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Right?
I had my shows like that.
Right.
Real Player.
Right. You know
what? Mind blowing.
Right.
But on a 56K modem.
Right. 56K modem.
Amazing.
So,
yeah.
So being able to, so at the end of the day, I'm a nerd. So I think that's why I can endear myself with engineers, because I ask them questions because I really want to know. Well, how does this work? Explain it to me. I'm not just like some marketing PR face. I am a nerd, and I build stuff and I break stuff. I know just enough to be dangerous.
Yeah. Awesome. No, Larry, I just want to say thank you for taking your time.
This is, I got to tell you, Godfrey, you and I were talking on email a couple weeks ago, and this is sincerely, I was so looking forward to this, and it's really the highlight of the week right now. We did a bunch of stuff, but this, it was so great to see you. Thank you, man.
Thanks a lot, man. Yeah. It's been like 10 years, man.
Yeah.
And it's so many changes from the last time I had you on a show.
Yeah.
It's good to talk about like what's going on behind the scenes with you, because people only know you as Major Nelson.
That guy on Twitter and the blog and all the other stuff. Yeah, but there's a real person.
Yeah, I want people to know Larry Herb.
Yeah. Like, and I don't do interviews like this all the time, because I don't you and I have a relationship, and that's what it's about in this industry is relationships and trusting. And I mean, I know you're gonna ask any question you want. I may not be able to answer, but you can ask any question you want.
But
you know, I want to help friends, and that's what you are. You're a friend at the end of the day.
Thanks a lot, man. Means a lot to me, man. So thanks a lot. All right. Thanks, Larry. You want to mention your social media?
You guys know how to find me. Just thank you for all you've done for over the years, man. You deserve that place in the Hall of Fame.
Thanks a lot, man. All right. Cool.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.